Psalm 100. Psalm 100, just for a few minutes. Psalm 100, and Mrs. Shimmons' class can go out. Sorry about that. Threw a curve to myself on that. Well, Psalm 100. I got a question to ask you. On Sunday night, I hadn't heard the complaint yet, but somebody mentioned that the side lights in the corner are distracting. Does anybody else agree with that? Do you? I'll attempt to turn down the wattage on them. We'll see if that works better. I know some folks have some cataracts. I think the one that mentioned it Sunday night has some cataract problems, so I hate to not have my beautiful face seen. We'll see. She was suggesting just unplugging them during preaching, but let me try to turn down the wattage on them a little bit. We'll see if we can make it work without having to get the corners dark again. We'll see what happens. Anyway, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank You tonight for a chance to be together for a while. And, of course, Lord, as we enter this night tonight and day tomorrow, it's like funerals and weddings. The world is filled with cliches about all the things we should be thankful for. And sometimes, of course, it's meant sincerely and sometimes it's not. I pray tonight You might draw our attention to some things that might help us. Maybe we be reminded that we have the real thing. And Father, I pray that You might just admonish us, but encourage us in what we have, and pray You'll help us in these things. In Jesus' name. That psalm is, of course, a psalm of praise and of thankfulness. It's very uplifting. It's an encouragement. In fact, if you look for these kind of things, it's one of those passages in the Bible that you actually can't find anything openly negative in it, which some of you should stand and applaud from the complaints I get about how negative I am. But if you look for that kind of stuff, there is no obvious reproof or rebuke in it. There is no exposure of the sinner's failure as such. Note Psalm 100 verse 4, which is where I pick up. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. It says, enter with thanksgiving and be thankful. Now, we and for good reason, teach our kids to be polite and say thank you. And you know as well as I, if you've had kids like me, that sometimes getting the right that kid to say thank you is as hard as getting him to say I'm sorry. It's the way it goes, but nevertheless you persevere because you want your kids to be able to say thank you at the appropriate times and mean it. You do your best you can to teach them so they mean it. We go to restaurants where it's understood that we will pay and tip waitresses and clerks, and when they fill our water glass, if you got a decent bone in your body, you say thank you. Unless you're one of those Baptist gripe guts that goes to restaurants where nothing can ever please you. But even when somebody that you're going to pay a tip comes and fills your water glass, you say thank you more often than not. We thank strangers and friends for common courtesies. And that's a good thing. We, in most cases, now not on Friday, not on Black Friday, but in most cases, we still remain a relatively polite, courteous society where if you cut somebody off at the store, you know, sorry, you know, that sort of thing. And, or thank you, that sort of thing. And I'm glad for that. We've made a national holiday out of Thanksgiving, and that's good. But it sure comes easy to render lip service in time, as I mentioned before. You know, tomorrow, today, you'll have folks on the radio vying for somebody to call them, perhaps somebody that doesn't even believe in God, to tell folks all they're thankful for. And we know we're supposed to be thankful, and so we render lip service. You know what I mean? It sure becomes routine to honor routine courtesy. We dot all our I's of politeness and make sure that we say the right things to the right people when it comes to testimony night at church and it's Thanksgiving. A lot of folks stand up and have something to thank God for and hopefully mean it. Amen? But I was looking at this. It's just really easy for us to utter words that we're supposed to say when we should say them. And I was looking at this passage, and notice in verse 4, once again, it not only says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, but it also says, be thankful unto Him. I'd point out the difference between the polite utterance, the requisite courtesy when somebody does something nice for you, and so you say thank you automatically because, after all, it is your habit. There's a difference between that and verse 4, being thankful. Especially being thankful unto Him. Right? The emphasis in that verse is on being. Being thankful. The emphasis in that verse is what you are, not what you said, not what you uttered, not what you gave requisite, expected lip service to. Now, I'm not here to bawl you out tonight or anything, but I'm here to talk about being thankful, not just acting it, you know. And so let me talk to you about, I'll just take the title from the text, verse 4. Be thankful unto Him. And I'd like to explore for just a little while. I got thinking about it. And, you know, like I said, everybody tomorrow will, even if they aren't Christians, will likely bow their heads and render some words of thanks to somebody, whomever it is they're thankful to. And a lot of times it's not even God. And I just wanted to point out to you that it may be more important than you realize that you be thankful along with the words that come with it. And the words that come with it don't count for a lot if you aren't thankful. For instance, let me explore this just a little bit. It won't be too long tonight. Turn to Romans 1. Now, you know what's in Romans 1. I know you do. But I'd like to show you a wording that I hadn't thought about particularly until this week. Look in Romans 1. And of course, this passage has great import for this particular hour and day we live in for obvious reasons. But verse 21, talking about the decline, the down spiral of the nations and peoples, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now I'm going to let the rest of it set for a second, except to go down to verse 28. You know there are various degradations witnessed to throughout those next several verses by the time you get to verse 28. For the last time, God gives them over to something. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, in verse 21, there are two things. They glorified Him not as God, and two, neither were thankful. Get down to verse 28. After being turned over twice to something lesser, in verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I'd like to say that being thankful is one of the cornerstones of a sound mind. And in a day when it seems like not only do people fall apart, but their literal minds are falling apart. And I'm not suggesting that it's all about sin, because it may not all be. I don't know what Alzheimer's is exactly. I know there are folks that face stuff that I just know this. You have a better bet leaving this life sane if you follow this book. And if you will begin that process with glorifying God when He deserves it, and not just uttering thankful courtesies, but being thankful. Being thankful. It says that they glorified Him not as God, verse 21. And neither were thankful. Notice they were not thankful. It didn't mention what they said or didn't say. It didn't mention their lip service or not. It said it was all about what they were. More specifically, what they were not. And they were not thankful. It's an issue of being, not an issue of saying. It's an issue of what you are, not an issue of what you said. And I read that as being one of the cornerstones of a sound mind. Now, we're looking down a barrel right now of 6,000 years of man degrading in sin, his moral and spiritual degradation and down spiraling. He is corrupted. And in the last 6 months, you watched a constitutional government with over 200 years of history subjugated to the very nonsense we read about in Romans chapter 1. And all that was given official and legal sanction by the Supreme Court. What does that mean? That means that what follows in the future is government-sanctioned reprobation and madness. Because it said there in verse 28, He turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, I don't care what you think about some sliver of nobility of the sodomite lifestyle. It ain't so. Look in that passage. In verse 21, allow me to hit the high points. Verse 22, professing themselves. There's something they said. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like an incorruptible man. To birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, first giving over, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up, second time, to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use, that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat, which was meat. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that's a mouthful. You read from verse 21 down to the end of the chapter. As far as verse 28 plus beyond, where God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And just read those specifics and think about the sorrow represented there, the misery, the woe, the regrets, the travesties, the generational tragedies, the familial divisions, the contention, the ruined lives, the souls lost, the tears, the funerals, the hopelessness in that list. And brother, and having recognized that as you look around and see people walking around Walmart or wherever today, knowing that you're looking at derelict, broken souls, just, and it's not a feasible exercise in the sense that you can't qualitatively do anything with it, but take that scene, take that list of things that went wrong, and instead of reading verse 21 as they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, just imagine what it would have been like if they had glorified Him as God and were thankful. And wonder what a different world we would live in today. But I just wanted you to see that it's about what they were, not what they said, not what they professed. It was whether or not they were thankful. And maybe they all said the right things on Thanksgiving. Doesn't mean it got them anywhere. And I suggest to you that what matters is what you are, not what you say, not what you profess, not how well you pray in public. Amen? Look at the next thing. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. To think that so much could swing on being one thing, grateful, of just being thankful, not just rendering a thank you when somebody invites you someplace nice, not just saying I'm sorry when you step in front of somebody at Walmart, but I mean what you are thankful. Look in Philippians 4. You know this passage very well. Philippians chapter 4, if I could get over there. 4:6. Now, again, you know the verse. You can quote it. Verse 5, let's start there. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You're praying and supplicating with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now it says there, with prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Nobody is just saying the words. Nobody is just rendering lip service. They're giving thanks. It's thanksgiving, right? And with that comes the wonderful promise of and the peace of God, which passeth understanding. I mean, the peace of God comes, and the peace of God keeps the heart and mind. Something that cannot be quantified, something that cannot be purchased, something that cannot be controlled. The peace of God comes and gives you something past understanding. Right? Now, when you look then at what it guards, look in verse 7 again. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Now we just talked about the mind, a sound mind, the cornerstone of the sound mind being gratitude. So in a way, this is kind of a double smack, but I'm just going to go right ahead, okay? You know, when I look at that, you have two things there that are precious. Precious treasures. Your heart and your mind. If I understand it right, your heart and mind both have to be convinced before your soul can be saved. Make sense? Your heart and mind have to be convinced before you can serve God acceptably. What keeps the heart and mind? Go back to verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God in the peace of God which passeth understanding. One of the key, it is, gratitude is one of the keys to two of your most precious treasures. Your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because you are thankful. You're not just saying words. You are thankful. brings the peace of God that does what? Keeps your heart and mind. That peace of God passes all understanding and it keeps your heart and your mind. Now, again, we've already talked about the mind, so let me just talk about the heart. You know, we live in a day where the heart is among the things, one of the things that the devil's after. And you hear well-meaning men, and I don't question that they mean well, and I don't question that they teach well, that you need to labor to secure the hearts of your children for God and for church and for what's right and for the truth and all those things. Problem is, what? Guy writes a book, says, here's how to keep your children's hearts. And he gives you a formula. 6, 8, 12, 20 things. And formulas don't work. You know why? Formulas don't work on children. And formulas don't work on drug addicts or sinners or drunks. You know why? Because it's not about what you go through. It's about what you are. If you read that passage, you can pray and supplicate without being grateful and not get anything. And not get your children's heart and not get past your addiction or anything else. You see what I'm saying? It's one of the keys to your most precious treasures. Being thankful. Praying and being thankful. Not just uttering the right words that you know full well you should say. Not just verbalizing sentiments that you know are right to say, but being thankful. There's a difference. And it may very well be all the difference of power in the world. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It is the cornerstone of a sound mind. It is one of the keys to your most precious treasures. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you know the verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I suppose if you wanted to debate, you could just say, well, it doesn't say to be thankful there, it just means to give thanks, but does anybody really want to argue that Paul is suggesting that you give thanks without being thankful? That's not going to make any sense. I just want to point out to you that some people profess to be looking for the will of God for their entire lifetimes, and they never seem to find it. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is a sure access to the will of God. Looking for the will of God, it may not help you with geographically where you're supposed to serve, that sort of thing. But I can tell you this, if whatever it is that you're in, you will genuinely be thankful and not just put thankful coins in the chute, hoping that God will honor your thankful words and get you out of this mess, if you will instead be thankful, you are in the will of God. That's a remarkable thing, you know, when you stop and think about it. Let me keep my promise and go on. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Difference between being thankful and saying thankful things. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll just start at the top, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It is indeed perilous times we live in. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, those spirits speaking lies, those devils speaking lies in people's ears, and apparently in Christians' ears. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Thanksgiving twice, verse 3. He created those meats to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And it says in verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. That includes pork, it includes shrimp, thank the Lord, and even lobster, which I don't get a chance to afford very often. But it includes those things. Now look, can you see that being thankful is a sanctifier for much that we do? It says there in verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If what? If it be received with thanksgiving. Not just thankful words, but being thankful. Now, let me ask you this. Since thanksgiving appears in verse 3 and then in verse 4, notice something else that appears. Verse 3, you have at the end the truth. You also have in that passage, verse 5, the Word of God and prayer. Man, folks, you talk about an all-star lineup. Truth, the Word of God, prayer. It's kind of what we're about, isn't it? But if you'll look there, would you consider of what real effect is the truth and the Word of God and prayer without the thanksgiving that happens twice around it? That's what I mean. This is about what you are, not what you say. It's about what you are, not what you profess. It's about what you are, not your peculiar doctrinal beliefs which you can defend. It's about what you are. Notice, wonder how the Lord looks at things that are inarguably perfectly permissible to us Christians. Not necessarily just meats, pork, and lobster and stuff, but things that are inarguably permissible and good. I wonder how He looks at those things when we partake when we're not thankful. Well, what's wrong with it? I didn't say anything was wrong with it. I just wonder how the Lord receives your reception of His goodness and blessing if you're not thankful. Worth a thought. Look in 1 Timothy 2. Let me add to the thought just a little bit more on slightly different note. It's a sanctifier for so much that we do. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. There are four things. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? Who? All men. Not amen. Not amen. Not guys I like, but all men. For kings. And for all. There's that stinking word again. For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I believe that it's a prudent and a godly thing to foresee evil. A prudent man foreseeth the evil in what? He hideth himself, right? I believe it's a perfectly godly thing to foresee dangers and threats and such things as that. And so now, here we are. It's a common matter of talk here we are surrounded by Clintons and Obamas and ISIS and crooked, raunchy politicians and a corrupt government and corruption all around us. And that being said, let me ask you, how has your life been affected with respect to verse 2? I mean, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. How is it that your quiet and peaceable life has been, in practicality, affected by President Obama? As despicable as he is, I mean it. How is it that your life has, that your quiet and peaceable life has been affected? Tell me how the issues of you living godly at the end of verse 2 has been affected. How has it affected your honesty? Really, when it gets down to it, how has it affected you at all? Except to make you mad. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that I believe it's prudent to foresee the evil. I do. But you better flat sure not forget to be thankful for what you still have. Because the truth of the matter is, other than the stuff that runs through your mind and heart on your bed at night, it has virtually not affected you one iota. Okay, your health care is more expensive. And your taxes have probably been affected. But this is still not the Roman Empire under Nero. My point is, maybe you should shut up and be thankful. Because that's what it says. It says there, and I know it really grates against some of you. Boy, it grates against me. That you should be in prayer and supplication and intercession and giving of thanks. For who? All men. And my simple point is, you can get way off and get your mind all worked up so that's all you can think about and all you can talk about, like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. That is not what God has called you to do or be. He's called you to a higher calling. It's about what you are thankful, not just about what you say and how you respond when somebody fills your tea glass. Thanks, sweetie. That doesn't mean that you're thankful. Look at a couple other quick things here. First of all, I'll take you to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. It's the cornerstone of a sound mind. It's one of the keys to your most precious treasures. Sure access to the will of God. It's a sanctifier for so much that we do. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now again, you can debate if you want to and say, well, see, it's just the fruit of his lips. It's just what he's saying. You're really going to tell me that the writer of the scriptures there didn't infer that you shouldn't just be saying words, but it should be a part of you, that you shouldn't be grateful, really. But it says there that an acceptable sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, just a few more turns here. 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice this time, verse 18. Context, context, context. Servants. Servants. Servants, really? Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Really? Brother Stevens, the Bible teaches that. Apparently, yours read like mine. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear. not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. It is always an acceptable sacrifice to God. Gratitude. Thankfulness. Being thankful, not just saying, thank you, sir, but being thankful. That's an acceptable sacrifice to God. With that said, there's a couple of things I can add to it. Look back to Daniel chapter 6. It's not about what you say. This is about what you are. Wait, before you turn. Even if you're a what? Even if you're a what? Context. Even if you're a what? Slave. That servant has a master. Right? Even if you're one of those. And there aren't any of those in America. Just so you know. But even if there were. Look in your Bibles in Daniel chapter 6. Grateful. Gratitude. How different might this country's cultural and sociological problems look if folks had taken Romans chapter 1, verse 21 seriously? Being grateful. Being thankful. Not just saying stuff. Daniel. I've been preaching and forgot to turn again. Daniel chapter 6. We were here the other night, I know that. Daniel 6. Go down to verse 10. They've trapped Daniel. So legally he is not supposed to, for so many days, make any request of anybody but Darius the king only. Well, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He nailed upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. He did what? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. Of all the men in the Bible who stood alone and were steadfast for a long time, Daniel was steadfast chronologically for a much longer time than Job was. Not really comparing them beyond that. I'm just saying Daniel served through one king and one kingdom after another and was steadfast the whole time. Now, I wanted you just to see that gratitude was part of Daniel's steadfastness. He endured several kings and several kingdoms and never one time went back on the Bible and compromised the truth. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, it is always an acceptable sacrifice to God to be thankful. He was a slave. He was a servant. He was in bondage. He was carried away from his family captive. He was emasculated. And he was thankful. He didn't just say thank you. He was thankful. It's a big difference. Look in Jonah 2. Jonah 2, and we really are just almost done. Hang in there. Jonah chapter 2. And Jonah is in the whale's belly and much more than that because he's down in the belly of hell in verse 2 of Jonah 2. The waters compassed him even to the soul in verse 5. Went down to the bottoms of the mountains forever in verse 6. Daniel's a lot deeper than any sea. Right? Jonah, did I say Daniel? Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Anybody want to argue that he was just saying thankful things
as opposed to being thankful. I ain't buying it. I just want to say that it was a part of Jonah's deliverance. You see, gratitude is always an acceptable sacrifice to God. In everything, give thanks. Because it's always an acceptable sacrifice. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and then I'll be done. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It's not about what you say. It's not about what you profess. It's about what you are. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And so you can see in verse 1 that the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. He's ready to ordain God's house. He has finished his father's work. His father gave him the pattern. He's finished with it. One simple verse. Go down to verse 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Can you see there that thanking God in verse 13, that gratitude, that thankfulness ushered in the glory of God? Not just what they said, but what they were. I mean, this had been a dream of David's to get the temple back up, or to get the temple up. It was Solomon's calling to follow through with his dad's pattern, his dad's dream, if you will, to get the temple up. And so they get the temple up, and the trumpeters trumpet, and the singers sing, and the trombonists trombone, and thanking God. And when they did that, the glory of God filled the house. Now, I'll ask you this. How long has it been since you experienced the glory on your house? You know, I don't mean some charismatic thing. I'm not talking about talking in tongues or acting like a cat or dog. I'm talking about how long has it been since you sensed, you know, God's presence and God doing something in your life, and you were glad for it. You were happy for it, and you could rejoice for it. Because after all, the glory of God was with you. And if it's not been that, if you can remember, what was one of the things that ushered it in? Was it not what you were? Grateful. Thankful. Not just what you said. Not just how well you pray in public. But what you are. Thankful. Let's bow our heads. Let me give you an opportunity to come tonight if you're of a mind. I'm not going to draw it out for too long. Give you an opportunity before our holiday tomorrow, which is a perfectly legitimate and righteous thing. Of all the folks in this world who should be grateful and thankful, it is us. You say, well, all Christians should be. Yes, they should. I think that you have a chance to have realized more of the treasure that you have than the average Christian at Eagle Brook or the local non-denominational church up the street. You have some semblance of understanding of the majesty of the Word of God delivered to you, because you're in it all the time. And I just wonder how long it's been since you felt the glory settle in. I'm not trying to emphasize the emotion of it or the feeling of it. I'm just trying to help you see that it's about what you are, not what you say. They were thankful. Are you? I know you can give a testimony. You'll get a chance to, and I hope you will. But are you thankful? Let's look this way and turn to
Number 352. Number 352. Jesus, love, 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 my soul. Let
Amen. Y'all be seated for just a minute. Before we left tonight, I wanted to have just a couple of folks that feel like maybe they want to stand up, and didn't try to run you into your holes with the sermon tonight, but a couple of folks, just a couple of brief testimonies, just of gratitude, whatever you would have to say. A couple of folks, not at the same time. Somebody. Aaron.
I guess the Lord really, really blessed, because Eric's been my best friend for, probably 9 years. And, we got back, and we've been going through a little bit of a rough time with getting situated and stuff, but the Lord really blessed with him coming back right now. He's been a huge encouragement to me and my family. You know, that's probably the biggest blessing God's given me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody else. Real quick, I don't want to hold you over too long tonight. Turkey might burn. Brother Paul.
Yeah, there's so many things that have taken place through the almost 17 years that you've been just blessed at all. And the thing that I'm most thankful for is to have a family and all know what Jesus Christ is. And to know that for all eternity, as a family, to be there serving the Lord for Him. And all the joy and all the good things are going to be a part of that life. And it's such an amazing thing that the Lord has done that in my family. And I'm just so thankful that we are saved. To see so many people here know that all the members of their family are also saved and enjoy the day. The Lord has done a lot.
Amen. Now the devil's doing something too. What's the noise I hear back there? Oh, it's the speakers. That's okay. I couldn't figure out where it's coming from. Grace, did you have something? Go ahead. Time for one more. Somebody. One other one. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm thankful for some of the great plants that there are.
Okay.
Some amazing trees, some really cool sites, and some cool plants. I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen. Barb, go ahead.
In our house, and then think we lost it, and Paula, the lady that we met at the old, our new home, who helped us this whole summer and spring, and with all your guys' prayers, and encouraging thoughts at just the right time. There's different times throughout the summer. It's like, Lord, what do you want from us, and what are we supposed to be doing? We didn't want to be the next family that moves out to Cambridge and just falls by the wayside. That's just been so many people that does that. And I just we knew this was the Lord's will. We saw it just because of all the different scenarios that we went through with the trials and stuff, and all the things that we've learned from it, and seeing God's will and stuff like that. And we just pray that we can show that, you know what, it doesn't matter the drive and stuff like that, but we're there and we're going to be faithful, and we're going to just show everybody that, and just thank everybody for the prayers and just support to the whole thing, and the ladies that helped and everything. It's just
amen.
A huge blessing to do it all.
So. Amen. 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 All right. Aaron, Michelle, you guys want to come up here and stand in front of everybody? Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Everybody else, let's stand. We dismissed and give you a chance to come by and shake the newest members' hands. It's good to have these folks back. And we've had many conversations on the phone and via email for the last 2 years. And so it's a blessing having them here. You pray for them, all right? Father, we thank you for your goodness and letting us have a part of this here tonight and all that we know you're doing around us. Lord, sometimes your hand's hard to discern, but other times, Lord, it becomes so evident that you are in the middle of things. I pray, Father, you'll be with our folks here. Aaron and Michelle, Lord, I pray for them particularly here at this moment, just because, Lord, they've been through a lot and made some decisions and grown up and some things like that. Lord, they'll be tested on a few crucibles here coming up soon enough. Father, the devil's interested in messing them up still. I pray that you'd give them grace and the maturity to go through some things. For all the rest of us here, Lord, please grant a good day tomorrow, Thanksgiving, the turkey, the food, the family, a particularly lost family. Father, may we enjoy fellowship with our saved ones as well. We look forward to meeting with you again Sunday. Father, thank you for being good to us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.